The reading is from Proverbs chapter 27, verses 1 to 17. It can be found on page 662, the Church Bibles. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. Let another praise you, and not your own mouth, someone else, and not your own lips. Stone is heavy and sand a burden, but provocation by a fool is heavier than both. Anger is cruel and fury overwhelming, but who can stand before jealousy? Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. He who is full loathes honey, but to the hungry even what is bitter tastes sweet. Like a bird that strays from its nest is a man who strays from his home. Perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of one's friend springs from his earnest counsel. Do not forsake your friend and the friend of your father, and do not go to your brother's house when disaster strikes you. Better a neighbor nearby than a brother far away. Be wise, my son, and bring joy to my heart. Then I can answer anyone who treats me with contempt. The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it. Take the garment of one who puts up security for a stranger. Hold it in pledge if he does it for a wayward woman. If a man loudly blesses his neighbor early in the morning, it will be taken as a curse. A quarrelsome wife is like a constant dripping on a rainy day. Restraining her is like restraining the wind or grasping oil with the hand. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. We're now going to read Proverbs 18, verse 24 on page 653. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, music group. And everybody, please take a seat. I'll start off by saying that this sermon today is by no means an exhaustive... Oh, there's an Ignite thing. Ignite are in. This sermon today is by no means an exhaustive sermon on friendship. There is a lot of mini themes of friendship in the book of Proverbs. And yeah, so just keep that in mind. There's so much to say, so much wonderful goodness in God's word about friendship in Proverbs. But let me start then. When you hear the word friend, someone's face pops up in your head, doesn't it? Maybe you've been best friends for decades, or maybe it's just the most recent friend that you've made. I think that you realize as you get older, and I am very old and very wise, that the length of time that you've known somebody doesn't actually correlate to how good of a friend they are, does it? Well, what then makes a good friend? Well, in returning to Proverbs this term, we're looking at different themes that run throughout the whole book. So this week we are thinking about friendship. I'm going to be making two main points today. So for those of you taking notes during the service, here's a sneak preview. One, the wisdom of Proverbs makes us a good friend, with two subpoints. And then two, Christ is the best friend. Okay, so let's start simply. How does friendship come about? It's usually a common interest or a passion, right? So sport tends to be a big one. Maybe it's something mutual, like a love of cross-stitch, or something maybe as simple as you were the only two something at school or uni or at work. Maybe northerners or people that wear glasses or people that drive Honda Civics or something. I could see some people going, oh yes, actually that did happen. Friendship is when we discover somebody that's walking the same path as us and we decide to walk together. And Christians have the ultimate walk, the ultimate path in common, the ultimate shared goal. It encompasses the whole of life, and by that I mean all parts of the day and all the parts of the rest of our lives. We've been called to be brothers and sisters in Christ and to live for him. Now, this is where being Christ-centered in our friendships is important. It's not always easy, and it feels a bit weird and awkward sometimes, but that's totally wrong. It shouldn't be anything like that. In Christ, we have something in common that we have, well, it's more in common than we have with anyone else, bar none. But I ask you, are you a good friend? Do you have good friends? Asking each other things like, how's your Christian life going? Are there any particular encouragements in your life? Or what are you particularly struggling with? Or how can I pray for you? They should be pretty normal things. But that isn't all just being a Christian friend is. In Christ, we have something more important in common than we do of anyone else. And we need to help build each other up in love and in faith, truthfully, honestly. That's what we're going to be seeing in Proverbs. What do we want from a friend? Someone who goes along with everything that we say, or someone that has a real love for us in their hearts and wants to see us thrive in godliness? Okay, then. Well, what makes a good friend according to Proverbs? Well, there's a surprising amount actually about who to avoid. So I first want to look at, take a peek at who Proverbs says we should steer clear of. And it's of utmost importance here to remember this fact. No friendship is more important than your relationship with God. No friendship is more important than your relationship with God. So let's take a look at some of these quotes. Wine is a mocker, strong drink a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise. A gossip betrays confidence, so avoid a man who talks too much. Make no friendship with a man given to anger, and go not with a wrathful man, lest you learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare. Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, "I'm only joking." As charcoal to embers and as wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. If you're like me, you might likely recognize some of these characteristics in some of your friends. Of course, we can still be friends with these people, but we won't have the same relationship with them as we do with our best friends, with other friends. So what we can take from this, I think, is that we want a wise friend. What makes a good friend is a wise friend. And we know that throughout all of Proverbs, we've been told that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Wow, other Christians make the best friends for Christians. What a surprise. Well, hold your horses there. It's not just as simple as that. There are proverbs on how we can help build each other up, and there are a lot of differences between what makes a good friend and what makes a bad one, or even an enemy. But there is no one proverb that says something as easy as, do this and you'll be a good friend. So let's start by taking a look at some of the verses that talk about how a good friend acts. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. And I've put together with that chapter 29, verse 5, whoever flatters his neighbor is spreading a net for his feet. Perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of one's friend springs from his earnest counsel. An anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Straight from most of these, I think we can pretty obviously see how it makes us a better friend. Kind words to an anxious friend seem like a no-brainer. And I don't know about you, but I definitely know the feeling of being around friends that who couldn't have actually cared less if I was there or not. But what pleases us is when a friend is earnest. When they're earnest to be with us, and they really want to be there to give us counsel and advice. People that truly want to be there. And we can hurt people with our words, but wise words can bring healing. having an apt word to say to a friend, or one giving us advice, helpful advice, can be reassuring and comforting. But we must also beware, as chapter 27, verse 14 says, and sorry, I haven't got this on the screen, but it is in our reading. If a man loudly blesses his neighbor early in the morning, it will be taken as a curse. This one, whilst being a warning, actually makes me laugh when I think about what pops into my head. I imagine someone out early in the morning in his garden, he just sneezes really loud and wakes up his neighbor or something. And I don't know, that's not exactly what that says, but I can just picture that. Or following the wording more closely, picture this. Early shift, 6 a.m. Maybe that's not early for some people. You've had to cover for someone. No coffee. You are knackered. You turn up to work, and as you go to clock in, the joyful, bubbly, bouncy guy, all chirpy and loud, greets you. Oh, what a pain. Just let me through. Get out of my way, please. Leave me alone. His kindness and his happiness is taken as a curse because it's mistimed and it's misjudged. So what I believe the proverb is saying is that we have to be sensitive with our timing. The words you intended to bring as healing can actually end up as swords if you're not being sensitive. In 27 verse 6, wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. A true friend will be willing to wound their friend in order to help them or to correct them, whereas a fake friend will lavish false praise and damaging encouragements on them because they don't truly care. What this means is that the yes men, or people that only ever say yes to you or encourage you in whatever you might do, regardless if it's or how stupid it is or how ungodly it might be, or people that tell you that you're perfect just the way you are. You don't need to change. You're fine. You don't need to worry. Those people are wrong, not you. Proverbs actually calls these people enemies. And if you don't have friends like that, that are willing to question and challenge you, then maybe you should think about why that is. Do you ever even allow your friends to question your actions? Or do you blow up at them for criticizing you? Or maybe you don't blow up at them, but you've batted down every criticism for so long that now your friends just don't even bother anymore. That says more about the kind of friend that you are than the kind of friend that they are. Or perhaps it's actually the other way around. You aren't willing to challenge your friend even though you know that you really should. Or you tell your friends that they're fine and lavish false praises on them just to stroke their ego. Do you truly love them? However, a good friend will be willing to challenge and question you on your actions and your words. They'll be willing to wound you because they love you and they want you to be growing in godliness rather than in sin. So I know which kind of friend I'd prefer. So I ask you again, do you have good friends? Are you a good friend? Do you want friends who will listen and care when you pour your heart out to them? Don't try and find your identity in your online persona, those people who like and dislike or upvote and downvote your content. Find your identity in Christ and with those who do as well. Don't be deceived. A virtual hug or a laugh reaction or a thumbs up emoji is only there to compensate for the absence of a real one. Don't be deceived. Aristotle, the Greek philosopher, was right when he observed that wishing to be friends is quick work, but friendship itself is a slow ripening fruit. I know that some people find it a lot easier to make friends, and that's just the way it is sometimes. But that is still no excuse to try and find good Christian friends. In Christ, we are all united. As humans, we're all made in the image of God, and we all feel the need for the intimate relationship. Everyone needs friends. Even Jesus needed his friends. Think of the Garden of Gethsemane. Even the Lord Jesus acknowledged his need of close friends in his time of great trial. and was greatly troubled when they failed him, when they let him down. They didn't stand with him. Friendships that the Bible encourages are ones that bloom into much more than superficial chit-chat and life news. If you both work at it, you'll have a brother and sister in Christ who'll be there to support you in your spiritual successes and your failures, in your improvements and your struggles, and you for them. People that you can share your deepest fears and secrets with without fear of being exposed or embarrassed. All this has been about us and others, how to be a good, wise friend, and how to choose good, wise friends. I want to read two final quotes, so I want to show you how Christ is the best friend. Let's start with John 15. Greater love has no one than this, or no one has greater love than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends. Whilst still being sinners, God draws near to people, and even more so than that, outrageously calls them friends. And he will lay down his life for his friends. Romans 5, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We might immediately think, actually, that's a bit unfair. We might think that, actually, if somebody's life was in danger, I would be willing to put my life on the line. But would we really? Maybe so. But how about if they were your enemy? If they'd spat in your face? If they've punched you in the face, beaten you, mocked you, stolen your clothes in front of you, deserted you when you needed your friends the most? If you had the chance to save yourself or them, can you truly say that you would do it? Jesus Christ did. Jesus Christ died for us that while we were still his enemies. We were God's complete enemy, sinners. That was us. Yet he still chose to die for us, and even more so, to call his followers his friends. It may be that you've wandered in here for the first time, or that you're just thinking about exploring Christianity. Or maybe you've been coming here for years, but more out of a sense of duty rather than one of belief or faith. Perhaps God has led you here today to make sure that you hear that God died for you to remove any and every barrier between you and him, so that there will be nothing to stop you having a friendship with him, for God to be your friend. Will you respond? If you're already a follower and friend of Jesus, then be encouraged and renewed with joy. This is the truth that we cling to, that God died and rose again so that we can have a relationship with him. So praise him. Hallelujah. I wonder if when I asked my first question this morning about picturing a friend, if anybody thought of Jesus. It can be easy to forget just of how much Jesus has done for us, actually. It's easy to become complacent when you live with such a fantastical truth every day. But brothers and sisters, let's not be complacent. Let's live as good, wise friends for one another, encouraging in love and reminding each other each day of who we live for. And let's not just live as friendly strangers who just meet up on every Sunday or every other Sunday. We are a family in Christ. And that is my prayer for all of us. So let's end with a prayer now. Heavenly Father, thank you for all the wisdom in Proverbs about your glorious gift of friendship and the intimacy that it can bring. I thank you that it is All human friendships are just a shadow of the greatest friendship, which is the one that you died for so that we can have with you. You removed every obstacle and barrier between us so that we can have a relationship, a true relationship with you, Lord. Thank you for that great truth. And please help us to think about this more often and to be better, wiser, and more honest friends with each other. In Christ we pray. Amen.